And on this Tuesday, April the 2nd, in the year of our Lord 2013, we are kind of finished with the Easter season, but not really quite finished, are we, Pastor Mark Smith?
Not at all. What is it, 48 more days till Pentecost? We're not anywhere near finished with the Easter season.
Is Ascension part of the Easter season?
I would say so, yes.
Yeah. It's the 40 days away.
It goes till Pentecost.
Yes.
Does it not?
But you don't have quite the volume of worship services, do you?
No. Lent is behind us, and Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. Now we can just bask in the afterglow of Easter a little bit.
Weren't we fortunate that the snow came Palm Sunday rather than Easter Sunday?
Boy, you aren't kidding. And not only that, it held off long enough to get Palm Sunday in there, you know?
Yes, yes.
Oh, it was just fine.
Yes.
Beautiful, you know, beautiful snow.
What was your Easter sermon about?
We've been doing the Voices of the Passion.
Right.
And Monday, Thursday, it was the disciple John. Now, Good Friday, we just had Tenebrae, and so we reflected on the seven last words.
Evening service.
Sunday, Easter Sunday, it was Paul's voice regarding voice of victory on the resurrection.
Probably chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians?
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. Well, we've got a full plate today on a number of items. The first thing I want to do is touch that email that came in. Let me read it. He talks about how the program is a blessing to him, but he's been doing some researching and soul searching about humility, pride, and boasting in the Lord. So many people around me make references to being proud about their grandchildren's accomplishments or how they handled a situation. Apart from giving credit to God, are these circumstances in which a person can, in a God-pleasing way, be proud about an earthly matter? If this is something you would address on your program, I would appreciate it. So, can we be proud of something?
Well, certainly. But we're
without it being sinful?
As long as we get the right perspective that all blessings come from God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where our pride really comes from. It's all blessings from God.
In fact, wouldn't you not say that you're proud of your children?
Oh yeah, very very proud. But I realize how many mistakes I make in being a father. I realize that God is gracious and somehow they came out fairly good. You know, I'm very pleased with that.
Well, you know why that is.
It's because my wife.
That's right, yeah.
My wife and God, right?
Well, I guess you could put God in there. Ooh, I just got a backache. No, I tell you, I think we both have wives that really are just so faithful and such. So I tell you, I give a lot of credit there.
Oh, boy.
I'm just going through a situation right now with one of our listeners in another state whose son's wife just ended up living with another man and having a baby through him.
Oh.
And they're not divorced yet.
Oh.
And we had spoken for some time on the telephone, but I can only imagine. Can you imagine that happening to your children? Something like that, how tough that would be?
You know, I tell you, there but by the grace of God go you and I, you know? I mean,
well, there is another comforting thing, is according to Romans 8:28, or I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 10:13, nobody gets more temptation than they're able to endure.
Right.
So since that kind of thing has to happen, God's only going to permit it to happen among Christians who have the faith to get through it. It's something, I know this may sound ironic to you, but I've always had tremendous congregations, and I've often wondered if that's because I don't have the faith I think I have, that if I ever had a tough congregation like some people have, boy.
Well, I've got my own theory. I don't know if I've got any scriptural ground to base this on, but my own theory is I the more I think about it, I think God has called us into the ministry, perhaps because that's the only way he could keep us in the faith. Have you ever thought about that? I hate to think what might have happened to me if I'd taken another calling.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Because I just know the type of person that I am. I mean, it's...
Well, I believe that anybody can become not only an unbeliever, but a murderer in anything. I really believe that about anybody.
Yeah, sure.
So nothing ever surprises me when somebody says, do you know that so-and-so killed so-and-so? I had one of my members kill his wife. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say it didn't surprise me, but I wasn't shocked. No. You know, because we're really able to hide our true selves from other people pretty easily.
Oh, yes.
And that's why I've always said I'm not a pastor of the public of the private ministry. I'm a pastor of the public ministry. So if somebody confesses to me that what they believe, say, about the Lord's Supper, I'm going to let them come to the Lord's Supper. And I have no idea whether they're lying or not, but it's not my business to figure that out.
You take them at their... You got to take them at their word.
That's what I mean.
That's all we can do.
Public ministry.
Right.
Yes. I can't read their private hearts. So in a sense, now this person who's writing, the first name could be, I've heard of men or women, so I'm going to assume it's a woman maybe, that she's really asking here, can we have humility and still be proud? And you're saying, yes, you can, under the circumstances of recognizing that all is due to the credit of God.
Right.
Yeah. I don't have any.
There's also that passage that says, well, and I don't think this conflicts, but there's that. How's that passage go? Pride cometh before the fall.
But there, the Hebrew word there is a sinful pride.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You know, like David.
Uh-huh, right.
He was so proud of being king over Israel that when he saw...
He thought he was above the law. Bathsheba.
Taking a bath, which is really odd. he thought he could go as far as he wanted, and he ended up breaking every commandment. I often use that as an example where the king of Israel broke every single commandment, even though he started off just with adultery, but he ended up breaking every one of them, murder, everything. And that's why God is so merciful that through the prophet, he was forgiven.
Right.
When he came to recognize. She left a poem. I want to read it to you, and I want you to review it when I'm finished, if this is a proper prayer to God. O God, I humbly come to you acknowledging that without you I would be absolutely nothing. I would have no earthly life and no spiritual life. You created me. Without you I would not exist. Help me live my earthly life in awe and praise of you, with a realization that all I am, all that I have, and all that I can do are undeserved blessings from you. I also humbly acknowledge, O God, that without you I would have no spiritual life. I would be condemned by and eternally dead from my sin. It is only through your mercy and grace and through Christ's suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension that I have eternal life. Thank you for all these earthly and spiritual blessings that are special, undeserved gifts from you to me. Through your Holy Spirit, enable me to use these blessings, not for my own glory, but in total submission, dedication and glory to you alone, and also in service to other people. I humbly ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, do you think that's an appropriate prayer of humility?
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, for some reason, I'm kind of reminded of, remember the dedicatory prayer that Solomon prayed
before the temple?
Before the temple. It kind of reminds me of that,
right?
The tone, at least.
In fact, it's almost like some psalms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where will sin come in this prayer? If I wrote this prayer...
I was going to say maybe, I'm just so humble.
Yes, exactly. Boy, this is really a good
prayer.
But
you know, you can't fault the person for that. I mean, there.
No.
We
but
do
I,
humbly.
I'm saying if I had written it, I would say, boy, that's a pretty good prayer. Do you appreciate that, Jesus? Because the old Adam, is always going to come and try and turn it around.
Well, what a good boy am I.
No doubt about that. So I do think, in fact, if there is anybody out there who would like to have a copy of this, I'd be more than happy to send you a free copy by email. So you do need to have a computer. Just email me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com and give me your name and email address, and I'll send this to you. Or you can phone at 1-877-CMS-1962. CMS is 267, so that's 1-877-267-1962. Be glad to send you this at no cost at all. I'm not sending the email. I'm sending actually the prayer there. Our second item that I want to talk about just came in this morning, and I had already shown you the photograph. This is a photograph that one of our listeners' nephews took at a funeral. And because we're on the radio, I can't show it to you. But it appears that there are two people talking to the left of the photograph. There's a picture in the center. And then to the right of the picture appears to be an apparition?
Yeah.
Or a ghost?
An apparition, at least.
Yes, an apparition.
Kind of a shadow of light.
It could be somebody suggested who... In fact, Gary Duncan, who works quite a bit with cameras, suggested that it could be just a reflection of light coming from the window to the right, because you can see light coming in. But it looks like somebody is standing there, the head bowed a little bit, and a white robe coming down all the way to the ground. So the question is, could this be a ghost? So you've got your Bible there. I think we need to kind of look possibly at a couple of Bible verses here. The first one is Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And what we're trying to do is answer the question, okay, are there ghosts, which are people who have died and come back as apparitions? That's the question we're trying to answer. And the first one I want you to look up and read is Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 5 and 6.
Okay.
Okay, can you go ahead and do that?
Right. Ecclesiastes 9, 5 and 6. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun.
Now, that's the key point. They have no more share in all that has been done under the sun. And what does that mean? Under the sun means life here on earth.
Right.
So, you know, that's a pretty good verse to show that the dead don't come back. The other one that I think is kind of good is from Job. Both of these are Old Testament. Job chapter 7, and I'll read that one, verses 9 and 10. As the cloud disappears and vanishes away, so he who goes down to the grave does not come up. He shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him anymore. That is really clear.
Pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, pretty cut and dry. So we've got a number of options looking at this photograph here. On the one hand, we could say it's a problem with the camera, with light coming in through the side, and maybe it just makes that. The trouble is the apparition just is standing in the middle of the floor.
Right.
You know, and it's a little hard for me to see how that could be, but it's possible. What is our option then if this isn't a ghost?
Well, we don't believe in ghosts, but we do believe in spirits. I mean,
angels, see, a lot of people.
Angels and evil angels, evil spirits.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that ghost and spirit are actually the same word in the Bible.
Right.
The word ghost is used 111 times, but the only times it's used, like in light of the Holy Ghost, is also when a person dies and his ghost or spirit goes to Jesus.
Right.
It's used in that sense. But there's never an occasion in the entire Bible outside of one.
Witch of Endor, right? Is that what you're thinking?
No. That could be a little confusing, you know, whether or not that really was Saul or
right.
not. Or that
you right, got it's debatable.
But there's one that's not debatable, where two people came back to earth.
Oh, Elijah and Moses.
Yes.
On the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yes. In fact, that's some evidence that Elijah, remember, never died normally. He was taken right up into heaven.
That's right.
And some would suggest that Moses also, after he was buried, that God took his body. But whether or not those really were those two people. So God can do anything. But it's pretty clear that normally that's not
right.
what is done here.
Right.
So backing up what you just said, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. 11 and 12. I'm going to have you read that, and I'm going to look up Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. So let's start off with Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12.
Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places.
Okay. So that's pretty clear that
it's talking about
we're not battling human beings whose spirits have come back. We're battling
evil spirits, demons.
That's right. And they appear to be permitted to become visible in these situations.
Right. At least in Jesus' day, when he walked this earth, they would manifest themselves in these demonic forms that they would possess people.
Yes, and they would even speak.
Yes.
You know, don't let us go into the pigs
right.
and this sort of thing. Let me read Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there he makes note of angels and principalities and powers,
yeah,
which
right.
we...
Those are ranks of angels.
And they could also be evil angels.
Right.
You know, it's often that a lot of people miss this question. I ask, how many angels are named in the Bible?
You've asked me that question I don't know how many times.
I know. But just in case we've got a new listener in the last 7 years.
Gabriel.
Right.
And Satan, who's also
right.
was Lucifer.
Right.
And don't forget Apollyon. He's the angel of the bottomless pit. He's essentially Satan.
A lot of people think Satan, Beelzebub, Lucifer,
yeah.
and Apollyon are all names for the same
right.
individual.
Right.
But you missed one.
Oh, Michael.
Yes.
Michael was an archangel, right?
That's right, right, right,
yeah.
right. Yeah, somebody once asked me the question, we're going to have degrees of glory in heaven. What does that mean?
Oh, I wish I knew.
Oh, I do. Yes.
Well,
I said,
what a humble servant of the Lord you are.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I know my humility just comes through so well, and I'm kind of proud of that.
It's a good thing that the degrees of glory isn't based on humility.
Well, I don't know. I'd be pretty well up there. Ooh, I got a backache again. I tell a person when they ask me that, degrees of glory, I said, I will answer that if you answer my question. And my question is, what's the difference between an archangel and a cherubim? And a seraphim?
Those three?
Well, and you just name
all
the
different ones. Well, the seraphim has six wings.
Well, at least in the vision of Isaiah.
Right.
But you got to remember, in the vision of John.
The cherubim.
John, in the vision of John, Jesus appeared like a slain lamb, which he isn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So visions you can't count as what they... And they did not have six wings when they visited Abraham.
And they were seraphim?
Well, who knows? My simple point is, what's the difference? I mean,
well,
in rank. And nobody knows.
Right. Yeah, we don't know.
No.
We don't know.
In fact, they were all... in bliss. And so that's when I say, no matter what degree of glory you have, whatever that means, we don't have any idea, it's not going to bother you.
No.
No, just because I'm going to have a better one than you have, you know, Mark, you're not going to be upset.
Don't bet on it, Tom.
Well, humble Mark just came through. I knew I'd catch you. All right, third item for today. You know, we're coming up into a government that, depending on what the Supreme Court does, pastors may be forced to do marriages of same-sex people, same gender, which, of course, we will not do on the basis of what verse?
Well, it's on the basis of the Sixth Commandment, you know.
I know that, but disobeying the government, where do we get that from?
Oh, we obey God rather than man.
Yes, it's Acts chapter 5, verse 29, when the council, this is the Jewish council, and the high priest says, did we not strictly command you not to teach in the name of Jesus? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us? And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So if there comes a time when the government is going to insist that marriage is okay between people of the same gender, this is when this verse would come into effect.
Right.
Where we would refuse to do that.
Absolutely.
Where we're not using our altars to make an abomination before Almighty God. And this is why I think this is really going to split the country just like abortion has. You know, in my opinion, almost every political election since about 1980 has been over abortion. I really believe that.
It's had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And this last one really did.
Right.
You know, where people were being told that if so-and-so got elected, then you weren't going to be able to have abortions and all this sort of thing, which was a lie. But be that as it may, they were able to use it, some people in certain parties, to get their individuals elected. But there's going to come a time, and there already is in some countries, where speaking out against abortion and homosexuality is considered hate speech.
Oh, I know, yes.
And there's actually fines levied against individuals. Now, I just heard a Canadian pastor recently on Issues Etc. who said it hasn't had much of an impact up there yet. But I do know of a Saskatchewan pastor who was fined for putting up signs against homosexuality. And you know what the signs had on them?
What?
Bible verses from the Old Testament.
How about that?
Yeah, exactly. And just yesterday on the internet, I received a, you know, they're always asking me to interview people. Well, here's an individual who's gone through the Bible, and this is his point. Homosexuality, he says, is not only prohibited by the Bible, but it is encouraged.
Said that?
Yes. So you can only imagine, you know, how the devil is working
really
in people's hearts.
Distort the scripture.
The next thing it'll be, you know, is that child abuse is not only not prohibited, but it is encouraged if the child is willing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, you know, we're living in an age.
In the last days.
Yeah, we're always in the last days. But I also think this really provides those churches, and I would say among those churches, the Roman Catholic and the Lutheran churches, some real help here, some real opportunities. So we, first of all, have to be helping our people understand what an abomination those two things are before Almighty God. And hopefully, as with abortion, we now have a majority of people who no longer believe abortion is okay in all circumstances. And so that's real progress. And we hope to do the same with homosexuality and gay marriage as time moves on. Because the more people get to know the Bible, the more we'll be opposed to such abominations. The last point I want to make, there is a woman who listens to us, and she's Roman Catholic, and she was a little upset over some things, I guess I said about Roman Catholicism. So she sent me the entire catechism of the Roman Catholic, the second edition. Really nice. So If she's listening, I would like to know what statements I made, because if I did make false statements, we need to correct them, because we do believe our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters are in Christ,
right?
Because they believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. But I'm going to write her also in case she's not listening, and try and get from her that information. Well, we did accomplish our three items, and unfortunately, you don't have any service on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday this week.
No, but Saturday and Sunday.
What time?
Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m.
Yep.
And a blessed Eastertide to you, Tom.
Yeah, you also. I'm going to be preaching up in northern Illinois. I'll give more information about that as the days go by. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week.
You bet.
Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.